It's the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Coming in 3, 2, 1.
Listening to the NASA Lunar Science Institute podcast, which highlights the latest news and information of the Moon, on the Moon, and from the Moon. It's produced by the NASA Lunar Science Institute at the Ames Research Center in Moffett Field, California.
Hi, this is Nancy Atkinson for the NASA Lunar Science Institute. The exploration of space has not only allowed us to discover and see farther in our universe than humanity ever has, but it's also given us a unique look back at our own world, and it's changed our perceptions of it. In 1987, space philosopher and writer Frank White wrote a book called The Overview Effect, which discussed a shift in awareness reported by some astronauts and cosmonauts during spaceflight, often while viewing the Earth from orbit or the lunar surface. I recently had the chance to talk with White about this, and we discussed specifically how the Apollo missions to the Moon changed not only the astronauts, but the world back home. Following is an excerpt of our conversation, and I started by asking White about the differences he noticed in his conversations with astronauts between those who had gone to the Moon versus those who had only been in Earth orbit.
We really have not had anyone go to the Moon since 1972. And the lunar experience is different from the orbital experience. And so now, the new astronauts, none of them have had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit sad. I'm hoping that the private spaceflight industry will make up for this. It's a little bit sad that our Apollo astronauts are, we're beginning to lose them. And that unique experience is awfully important. That, you know, when you're in orbit, you see the planet very close up. But when you're on the Moon, the whole idea of seeing the Earth in space is much more the case. You really do see the whole Earth. And in 40 years, we really have not had anybody go to the Moon. And that affects the nature of the experience as well.
Right.
So your question is a good one. The answer is really something we need to work on. And it's a fascinating question, really.
What did you see from the astronauts that did go to the Moon? Was there kind of a theme that they seemed to have in their experiences, or was it varied, or what did you see in talking with them?
There were a couple of things that seemed to come out, and I think one I've already mentioned is the seeing of the Earth against the blackness of the universe, or seeing it against the background of stars, and beginning to see it as a planet in the universe, as well as being able to see it up close and having that experience of no borders and no boundaries. So that is definitely one difference that people seem to bring out. So, for example, if you're in orbit and you're passing over a particular area, for example, the Middle East or the United States or whatever, you're going around in 90 minutes and you begin to have a change of identity from identifying only with places on the Earth to identifying with the Earth. And when you're looking from the Moon, that feeling seems to be enhanced, but even more so, that you're seeing the Earth from an even greater distance. And I don't quite know what the phrase would be, but rather than seeing it as no borders and no boundaries, you're really seeing it as a small pale blue dot, as some people have said, that you can put your thumb up and you can blot it out.
Mm-hmm.
And going along with that is the fact that you see the Earth somewhat as we see the moon. You see it as a planet with phases, and it's up in the sky instead of the moon being up in the sky. And that certainly brings you to a larger understanding of where we are in time and space. And Gene Cernan said that every once in a while he would stop and think, where am I in time and space? I think it was pretty disorienting in a way. The other thing some astronauts commented on is the fact that the Earth is clearly a place that harbors life. The moon, now we're beginning to see the moon may not be as lifeless as we first thought. There might be water there. There might be opportunities for life in a different way. But compared to the Earth, it's pretty barren, and there's very little variety of color, certainly no vegetation and so on. And that contrast seems to me to have affected the lunar astronauts in a sense. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that came out was Gene Cernan said when I interviewed him that we really had two space programs. One was the orbital and one was the lunar. A sense that it really was something very different to go land on another planet, as it were, rather than just orbiting our own planet. And, finally, the experience Edgar Mitchell had coming back from the moon, where he was able to see the Earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of those things right at the same time, and realizing that he was in some way at one with that entire creation was certainly a heightened experience for him. But I would just close by saying one thing that Edgar Mitchell said to me when I interviewed him, which was, I said, I thought that going to the moon was a more profound experience than orbiting. And he said, not necessarily, that the impact of the experience depended on your openness to it. He was very open to the experience in his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that the attitude of the astronaut was more important than whether you were in orbit or it was a long duration flight or you went to the moon. I would say, I think going to the moon has the potential, if you're open to it, to being a much more powerful experience. But I do see what Edgar is saying, that it really depends to some extent on you, just like some people can climb a mountain and be enthralled by the view because they were open to that, and others just want to have their lunch or they're just really, really tired and they're not really there for the view. So if we think about that, we would have to see that's true. The different places in space give you a different opportunity, but you still have to bring yourself to it. And he had prepared for that. And the other thing he mentioned was he had time, because he had been, in terms of his duties, he was finished and he could rest at that point. I think he was the lunar module pilot. And so when he was coming back and they were heading for Earth, he didn't have a lot to do, and he had a moment to contemplate and think about what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was important in terms of that experience.
Right. How do you see how the Apollo missions and seeing Earth as a whole affected people back on Earth? And do you think any of that has endured over the last 40 years?
That's a great question. I have not been the person to document this in detail. Robert Poole wrote a book called Earthrise. And if you read that, it seems to me it really brings out what a lot of us think about intuitively, which is that the environmental movement as we know it today is truly a child of the space movement or the space program, or more specifically, the Apollo program.
Mm-hmm.
The view of the Earth from orbit, as we've been talking about, is one thing, but the view of the whole Earth from halfway to the moon or from the moon is really quite another thing. And we've been talking about the difference in the astronaut experiences, but if you think about the difference in the Earthbound experience, which is depending totally on video or pictures, it's certainly quite different to see the whole Earth. And again, to get that feeling that Ron Guerin talks about, of it being a fragile oasis, you really see it hanging there in the sky, and you do get that understanding that it's precious and that we really need to preserve it. All the astronauts that I've talked to have talked about that, the sense of we're all in this together, we need to preserve this precious jewel that we live on. But those pictures, Apollo 8 pictures, Apollo 11, and then the subsequent Apollo flights, Apollo 17, the pale blue marble pictures, it just seems inescapable to me that the environmental movement got a huge kickstart from that. And I recall just myself having been deeply, deeply affected when Apollo 8 turned the cameras around and showed us the picture of the Earth. And then, of course, we were all enthralled with Apollo 11. And I was working for WGBH-TV in 1970, and I covered the first Earth Day in Boston. And I made the connection right then that the Apollo missions had been in 68, 69, and here was the first Earth Day in 70.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just grown from there, and I think it's unfortunate because I think to some extent the space movement and the environmental movement are not as connected today as they should be. And when you talk about the environmental movement, not many people connect it to the overview effect. But of all the changes that have been wrought by this experience, this really remarkable adventure that we call Apollo, the environmental movement is clearly one that, in your own words, has endured. It's grown. It's become mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only one of the things. I think we talk a lot about what is the overview effect going to, what impact is it going to have in the future, but it's already had enormous impact in the present.
And so, during this week that we celebrate Earth Day, not only can we look back at how important space exploration has been in helping us to better understand and appreciate our own planet, but we can also anticipate how our future explorations will likely contribute in making our world a better place. Thanks for listening.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.lunarscience.nasa.gov. Any opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of NASA or the NASA Lunar Science Institute. This podcast is produced for educational and information purposes only. On behalf of the NASA Lunar Science Institute, thanks for listening.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Scott Lewis. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this material for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at cosmoquest.org/blog/365daysofastronomy or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.